Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti, and I'm here again with my friend Steve Garcher.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Phil.
Hi. And we hope that you're all making it through this winter weather. And we're here today to kind of continue where we left off last time. If you recall, our last show a couple of weeks ago was about God's love, and we decided that the next follow-up thing would be the prodigal son, which is a great example of the love and mercy and grace that God the Father has for us. And we thought we would do that on this show, and we're going to start out with Steve reading the prodigal son account, which is in the book of Luke, chapter 15, and it's verses 11 through 32. So why don't you go ahead and read that, Steve?
Okay. Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. He said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Bring a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fatted calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'"
Very good. Thanks for reading that. Well, isn't that a cool story? Boy, there is so much in this parable. You know, Jesus many times taught in parables, and that was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah that the Messiah would speak in parables. And this is really an interesting one because the characters in it are very interesting. The father and the two sons, the main characters, and each one has a unique place in this and a unique personality. But before we get into that, I think it's kind of neat to see Jesus is telling the story. And we want to see here who's listening to the story. Because if you look just before he starts talking this, it all starts out by the Pharisees saying, "How come he eats with sinners? How come he hangs around with tax collectors? You know, what kind of teacher, what kind of rabbi is he? He's hanging around with sinners." And, you know, it's the common people that, you know, the Pharisees and the learned class used to call these sinners and common people, the people of the land, you know, they were kind of beneath the Pharisee class, and the Pharisees really didn't feel that a teacher should be even talking with these people, let alone hanging around with them.
Yeah.
And Jesus, of course, always hung around with the people of the land. I mean, look who his followers were. I mean, a pretty ragtag bunch. And when we ask who's listening to this story, it's the common people. It's tax collectors and it's sinners. It's these people that are either walking with him or they come to this place where he's teaching and they sit and say, wow, let's listen to this guy for a while because this sounds pretty cool. And the common people, the, you know, the ones that the Pharisees kind of look down their nose at and disdain, the sinners, they're drawn to what Jesus is saying in all these stories.
Right.
So you can kind of see, you know, if you look at the, you can kind of see in your mind, Jesus sitting or standing and going through a story and all these people kind of listening and going, oh, yeah, kind of hanging on what he's saying. Now, who's not listening is this group of Pharisees. In fact, if you look in the a couple of verses before that, you know, the Greek word means that they're muttering with each other. Like, what's this guy doing here? Why is he hanging around with sinners? Why is he with these people? And what
kind of, so they're mumbling and complaining.
Yeah, mumbling and complaining. And they're just muttering. I think it's a great word. And they're always ready to be antagonistic and to condemn what he's doing because he's not following what they think he should be doing.
Right.
He's not hanging out with the right people. He's not talking right. The right way.
Right. That doesn't happen today.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, you kind of get the idea, and you notice in so many of these stories and so many of these prophecies or parables, rather, you know, you kind of get the idea that these Pharisees and all these learned people are just kind of like skulking around to see what's going on. They're always like popping up different places. And they're upset that these people are even listening to Jesus. So, you know, that's going to kind of develop itself because as he tells this story about these two boys and the father, each of these groups sees themselves in it. Each part of the story is directed to one or the other of these two groups. Mm-hmm. The common people are listening. The Pharisees, the learned people aren't listening. They're just being antagonistic and condemning, and they're not happy with the fact that these common people are being taught anything.
Right.
And the younger person, let's start with the younger son, because he's the prodigal. This is, you know, the lesson, the main lesson in this parable is about him. So here's this younger guy. He's not happy. He doesn't like living here. He's kind of isolated himself from his father and his brother. We don't hear about their mother, so we don't know anything about her, but he's isolated himself. He's kind of in a rebellion. He wants to get out. He just wants, you know, he's thinking maybe for a long period of time, he's thinking, I got to get out of here. This is not for me. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of working in the field. I'm tired of doing the stuff that the father wants me to do. I'm tired of whatever it is. I want to get out of here. And the older son is the worker. He does the stuff.
Right.
He runs the place. He does what his father tells him. He's kind of like, you know, he's close to his father, but at the same time, he's kind of far. He's very methodical in what he does, and he works, you know, and Jesus is pointing this toward the Pharisees because he's like them. They're doing the law. They're doing the things that God commanded them to do in the Torah and through the whole Tanakh. They're close to God, but they're really far from God because they don't, like Jesus tells them, you know, you see the letter of the law, but not the heart of the law. And the younger son and the older son each have part of this teaching kind of directed at them. And the younger son, you know, doesn't like the rules. He's independent. He's defiant. He's rebellious. And he finally decides he's going to go. Mm-hmm. And he makes a really scandalous request. Give me my inheritance.
Right.
Now, and when do you normally get your inheritance?
When they, when you're...
When they die.
When they die.
That's right.
You know, the other thing about it is that usually the firstborn of the family is the one who gets the inheritance.
Yes. In this type of society, yeah. Yes. But he's making a really, what he's really saying to the father is, look, I wish you were dead so I could have some money. I want the money.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not how, I mean, this is a scandalous thing in any society, not just there.
Right.
But this is basically a son who tells his father, look, you might as well, if you were dead, I'd be better off because at least I could get some money and get out of here. So it's a scandalous request. I want to get out of here so bad that I want my inheritance.
Selfish,
arrogant, prideful. The inheritance, of course, comes when the person who has the money dies, and then it's divided up. It's, you know, it's called an inheritance. He wants the inheritance, and the father gives it to him. Now, it's interesting. We don't hear what discussions they have, but the bottom line of this is the father gives him what he wants and lets him go. And this, of course, corresponds to the fact the father, of course, is God the Father. That's right. Pretty clear. And what he's showing us here is that we have free will. Mm-hmm. You want to leave? Go ahead. You know, you want to take your inheritance and squander it? Go ahead. You want to give up this nice life that you have here with me taking care of you and us living together here as a family, and you want to go off and do whatever? Go ahead. Here's the money.
Free to do it.
Free to do it. He doesn't say, he doesn't put any kind of barrier in front of him. He doesn't inhibit him. He doesn't even lecture him, as far as we can tell. So he lets him go, and the kid basically says, I'm out of here. I got the money, and I'm out of here. And it says he took everything he had, which means he wasn't coming back. He didn't leave like a sweater behind so he could say, oh, I got to go home and get my sweater, or I got to go back and get those other shoes that I like. He took every single thing with him. So when we are, you know, when we're in our human nature, our human rebellion, our human sinfulness, we want to break away and we want to do whatever we want. And you say, I'm not coming back to this. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And this is what he does. And interestingly, everything he had was because of his father.
Right.
I mean, this is presumably a wealthy family. They've got land and they've got servants. So everything that this guy had came from his father anyway.
Right.
He didn't produce any of it. He didn't acquire any of it. It was all from the father. And so he basically uses what the father provides for him to rebel against his father. Now, who does that sound like? Pretty much all of us.
Yeah.
We have all this provision from God, all the things that we have, the jobs that we have, the careers that we have, the food that we have, all the things that we have. And we choose to rebel in spite of the fact that we have all these provisions that God's given us to begin with. And in that sense, the younger son represents all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We think instead of being here with these boring people going to church and doing all this stuff, I'd be having a lot more fun if I was over there doing all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah. You know, that's our natural sort of inclination.
Our human nature, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because we have that, you know, the not following the law, the rebellion kind of has the allure to it. I'd rather do that.
Right.
Because being here and doing this is boring. Even though my father's giving me all this stuff. So he's really just like us. And then he goes to a distant country. I mean, he doesn't go to the next town. He doesn't go to the next county. He doesn't go to the other side of the river. I mean, he goes to a distant country. So he wants to get as far away as he can. I mean, you know, what was so miserable about this guy's life that He wanted to get as far away as he could. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say he was abused. It doesn't say the father wouldn't give him any food. It doesn't say the father wouldn't give him. He just didn't want to do the law and the obedience. He wanted to be his own guy. So he goes as far away as he can from where his father is. Which, you know, it's, he kind of gets mastered by this desire to run away and to be his own guy and to be independent. And when you're living that kind of life, you know, you want to be as far away from God as you can because mm-hmm. you think, you know, you're hiding from him. Yeah. You don't want to, you know, if God's over there and I'm over here doing my sin thing.
Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Yeah, I can do whatever I want.
That's right.
I'm free.
That's right.
I've got my freedom.
That's right. I don't have to worry about those laws anymore. I don't have to worry about going to church anymore. I don't have to worry about those Christians telling me I should be doing this and should be doing that. It's, I'm in a faraway land and all that is way over there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our humanness, we think we ran away from it. And this boy thinks he ran away from it. And he's totally mastered by his desires. So, boy, for a while, you know, he's the guy's really living it up. Because he's got money. He's having parties. I mean, every night there's a party. His friends come and they eat and they drink. And presumably, although he never mentions prostitutes or harlots, the older brother mentions it later. So presumably he has parties, women, food, drink. And for some amount of time, he's living it up. And, you know, when you have a lot of money and you're throwing parties all the time and you're buying drinks for everybody, you got a lot of friends. And so, you know.
Till the money runs out.
Yeah. So the guys who are living there say, hey, let's go hang around with Joe. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Party every night at his house. He buys everybody drinks. A lot of party fun.
Yeah.
And, it goes really well until he runs out of money.
Yeah, the party comes to an end.
Yes, it goes really well till there's a famine in the land. And when you run out of money and the parties are done.
And you have no provisions.
You have no provisions. Yeah, he's got nothing stocked up. He's got no job. He's left all his connection with his father behind. When the party ends, he sees a whole different situation. Because now none of his friends are coming to him going, hey, can I get you something? Hey, can I buy you a drink? Hey, can I get you a sandwich? Hey, can I make you some dinner? I mean, it says nobody gives him anything.
Right.
I mean, nobody gives him anything. And so he, in desperation, he hires himself out. And what does he do? Work with pigs. And I love when Jesus does this. I mean, you got a picture. All these Pharisees are standing around, and they're wearing all their cool stuff and their phylacteries and got the things around their wrists, and they always stand around looking holy. And all of a sudden he says he has to take care of the pigs, and you can just kind of picture them going, ugh, what a place.
Defiled animal.
Yeah. What a place for a Jewish boy to end up, taking care of pigs.
Right.
I mean,
unclean.
Unclean, the most unclean animal. You can just see these guys cringing. But this is the power of the parable because it uses this, to make the point, it uses this really powerful image. I mean, this guy now is so destitute that he's living with pigs. I mean, there can't be anything worse than that.
And wants to feed off the pods that they eat.
Whew.
More, you know, more about the uncleanliness.
That's right.
Not kosher.
Exactly.
Yeah. Of the Jewish dietary laws, yeah.
Absolutely. There's no, guy can't follow the dietary laws. The guy's around defiled, unclean animals. Nobody's giving him anything to eat. I'm guessing he doesn't smell very good. We don't know if, you know, he had a shower in his apartment or didn't even have an apartment.
No.
But his whole situation changed. And we're going to take a break now. When we come back from the break, We're going to talk about what happens to him when he realizes what's going on. And this is 1220 The Word. This is The Gift of Grace. And Steve and I will be back in just a minute.
Righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of fact.